Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, here's a question for you. Contemplate this. We'll see what you really think about the power of prayer. Do you think the power of prayer can stop an abortion? Do you think it can stop one abortion? How about 10 abortions? How about 50 abortions? How about 1,000 abortions? Do you think prayer, in and of itself, I'm not talking about legislation, I'm not talking about passing laws that we did like we did recently in Iowa, I'm just talking about prayer all by itself, in and of itself. Can prayer, in all of its forms, stop abortion? Could you imagine, for a second, that prayer could actually stop, let's say, all abortions? See, that, I think, like, I'm a pretty serious Christian, but I sit there and go, yeah, no, we're going to have to do some other stuff besides praying. And I have a friend out in California who's on staff with Greg Laurie, and he says, prayer isn't the only thing that we should do, but we shouldn't do anything without it. And so you get into this world of how do I kind of combine my prayer life with putting some feet to your faith and getting involved. And today we're going to talk about just an awesome story that God continues to write and unfold that started in Charlotte, North Carolina. And even if you don't live in Charlotte, if you don't live in North Carolina, if you don't live on the East Coast, and many of you don't, it doesn't really matter because the issue of abortion is universal and the issue of what can be done about it is, well, local to you, not just your city, but your life, your family, your marriage, your church, your sphere of influence, we should all be engaged. This is one of those things that, listen, I think a lot of us struggle to be engaged with the Great Commission and sharing the gospel. And a lot of people, every Christian I know says they care about abortion. And of course, they're pro-life. But the real issue is, what are you doing about it? And not the least of which should be prayer. So today we're going to hear a story of something that's been going on in Charlotte, North Carolina, Love Life Charlotte. Love Life is kind of the global name of this ministry and this movement. And then it's spreading now. God is spreading it around the state of North Carolina. And perhaps today there'll be a seed planted where Love Life will start to grow even outside of the state. So Justin Reeder's been on the show before. He's the founder where it started, Love Life Charlotte. And you're going to meet Josh in a minute. You'll meet John in a minute. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, you may be wondering if I'm holding tryouts for a male modeling gig. I am not. But these guys are all just great men of God. They're good friends and just an inspiration to me on this issue of saving lives. Justin Reeder, welcome back. How are you?
Steve, good to be with you, man. Thanks so much for having us. Doing really good.
You're welcome. So we'll meet Josh here in a minute, and then we'll talk to John as well. And for those of you that have been a part of the radio show for a while in my life here, know, of course, my slightly older brother from another mother, that would be Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. And you're going to meet today his son-in-law, who is actually, I think, a little bit better looking, a little bit bigger. He's taller than his father-in-law, but he's a good friend of mine and a great man of God. He's part of this story as well. And so stay tuned, because you'll meet John, and you're going to love how this show unfolds. So take us into the world and help us to understand what God has done through Love Life, Justin.
Yeah, so it began back in 2012. I'm a business guy in the city. I've owned a business there for about 13 years, and I've had some business friends that invited me out to the local abortion center in Charlotte to share with me what I call the tragic truth about our city. And that's really where it began for me. When I went out to the abortion center that day, the very first thing I noticed is that I've been doing business with a company across the street for almost 10 years. It's actually one of my very first clients. And my heart just broke over what I encountered that day when I came face to face with the reality. You know, abortion no longer just became a statistic for me, but it really became personal for me as I saw 30 moms walk into that building, and some with, you know, baby bumps, and the dads sitting in the parking lots playing on their phones. And my heart just was broken over what I encountered. And as I learned that abortion is the leading cause of death in our city.
Wow.
You know, more death is happening through abortion than cancer, heart disease, anything else we could think of. 150 to 200 abortions every week just in my backyard. And the same tragic truth is the tragic truth here for the Triangle as well. 150 to 200 abortions every week in this region, in this area.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't help but think, man, if this was happening in a different building, right? An elementary school, a middle school, a high school, whatever you want to put on it, you know, it would be such a different scene.
There'd be sure.
FBI running to the scene,
everywhere.
SWAT running to the scene. But yet even the local church would be running to the scene. And in the area of Charlotte, we have around 1,000 churches in the city of Charlotte, almost more churches per capita than anywhere else in America. And I thought, man, we could just do so much better for the, than what we're doing right now. So that's where it began for me.
And at the time, you were a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
Loved the Lord, church attendee, an involved Christian, and a pro-life Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. I always would have considered myself pro-life, but, you know, I never connected the dots for whatever reason that it's happening on this magnitude right here in our city, right across the street from where I'm generating a profit. From a company, from our business. And so, yeah, that's when I came face to face with it and really shook me up.
And then what was the genesis behind starting Love Life Charlotte in terms of the organization and the focus on prayer and how this thing's going to get going?
Yeah, so my wife and I had been praying and just seeking the Lord, kind of what was the next phase of our life. We just celebrated 10 years in the business, and we knew we were called to keep the business and keep going in that direction, but our time was shifting. The Lord was birthing something in us, and so during a season of prayer and fasting, I felt the Lord speak very clear to me that I've called you to the least of these, and I've called you to be a voice for the voiceless. And literally over the course of a week, God just began waking me up in the middle of the night, not allowing me to sleep, and I just began writing things down in my journal. And that's when Love Life was born in my heart.
And now what about the role of prayer? Because that's really central to everything that Love Life is doing.
Yeah, so I would say it's the backbone of what we do. I mean, it's everything that we do is wrapped up in prayer. And so we have a way that we mobilize the church, and there's different steps, and prayer is one of those key elements, but really prayer is wrapped in all of those elements. We just believe that when we pray, when we fast, we align our heart with the Father's heart. This is a spiritual battle. We got to win it in the spirit realm before we see it manifest in the natural realm. And I'm a big believer of prayer and fasting together. When we do that, we turn down the noise of the world, and we turn up the volume of heaven. And so it's the backbone of what we do.
So what's happened down there?
Well, so to try to wrap it up, I mean, we've seen such an awakening and a mobilization of the church. We've now seen over 150 churches that have come together across denominational lines. We're talking about Baptists next to Presbyterians, next to Pentecostals, next to non-denomination. And we've seen now almost 30,000 people that have come out to Latrobe Drive for the prayer walks. Before, Latrobe Drive was out of sight, out of mind. Almost nobody knew about it in our city. What we say is we're making Latrobe Drive the most famous street in our city because the miracle that God is doing in that place. And since the church has been engaged and activated, we've seen over the last 2.5 years, over 1,000 families that have chosen life at the abortion center in the last 2.5 years.
1,000 families means 1,000 babies, and that all starts with prayer. You want to understand the power of prayer. All you have to do is look right there. What's been going on since then? What's happening with Love Life and Love Life Charlotte, now Greensboro, and now Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live? And hopefully one day, God willing, your city too. We'll find out about that when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Hang in there. Share this if you're watching on Facebook and tell somebody else to tune in. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about, I would like to say it's one of my favorite topics, except it isn't. The topic of abortion and the topic of children being murdered in their mother's womb, that topic is, it's the most important topic outside of salvation that we talk about on the show, but it's not my favorite topic because the fact is that we have to talk about it means that it's happening. And I said recently, whenever I get a chance to speak in the crowds and when I'm trying to get them to understand the enormity of abortion in America, I always ask them if they've seen, if they've been to Washington, D.C., have they seen the Vietnam War Memorial? So you probably know what it looks like if you haven't seen it personally. The Vietnam War Memorial contains the names of 58,000, a little over 58,000 soldiers that died during the Vietnam conflict. It's 435 feet long. If you were to make a monument to the, let's say, roughly 60 million children that have been murdered since Roe v. Wade, same basic dimensions, how long do you think it would be? So 435, 440 feet with 58,000 names, Washington, D.C., Vietnam War Memorial. If you made it a memorial, same basic dimensions, how long would it be? The answer to that is 72 miles. 72 miles long, which here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live, we have this thing called the Inner Belt Line, which runs around kind of the central part of the city of Raleigh. It's about 15 miles long. So you would literally do 4.5 laps around this wall that would surround the city over and over and over again in reading the names of one baby after another. And that's on America. That's on all of us. That's on the church. If we're not praying, if we're not engaging, if we're not showing up, if we're not reaching out to the unwed, unplanned pregnancy and the moms, that's on us. And you can't claim apathy if you're a Christian when it comes to this topic. So today, something that God has done just amazing called Love Life and Love Life Charlotte is where it started. Talking to Justin Reeder, who's the founder, who's a good Christian guy, married businessman, and then one day realizes he's doing business across the street from an abortion mill. And what's going on right underneath his nose? It's going on underneath my nose. And so what do you do about that? And Love Life really became about prayer first and foremost, and then all these other things that have happened, which we're talking to Justin about. And then also, you're going to meet Josh Kappas, who's also involved with Love Life, director of city development, and he's working in Greensboro, North Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina now. And again, this isn't a North Carolina story. This is an all-over-the-world story, an American story. And so whether you live here or not is irrelevant in terms of your attention to this. So, Justin, where it started with all prayer, but then Love Life is a whole lot bigger than that. There's a lot of other elements involved, which, as you said earlier, praise the Lord for it. Over 1,000 families have chosen life as a result of this effort. But there's other things going on besides prayer and besides showing up and praying in an abortion clinic. So take us there and then introduce us to Josh.
Yeah, so really we're here to shift the culture. And culture has got to go be – that culture shift has to go beyond just the prayer. And so the whole mission is uniting and mobilizing the church to create a culture of love and life that will result to an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. And we believe it's the church's role to shape the culture. Politicians, legislation, that's downstream. They'll follow the culture.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're creating a culture where families stop running to local abortion centers and begin running to the local church. And as we say all the time, the issue isn't the darkness, it's the absence of light. And so mobilizing the army of the living God is our mission. That's what we're here to do. We believe Matthew 16:18, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and Matthew 16:19, that he's given us the keys to the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, be loose in heaven. It's this co-laboring with the Lord that he desires. And we believe God wants to see abortion in more than we do.
Yeah, that's right.
He's just been waiting for the church to co-labor with him in this mission. And that's what we're giving the church an opportunity to do. Through this vision, we believe there's a difference between a dream and a vision. You know, a dream is, hey, I want abortion to end. A vision has that with action steps attached to it.
Amen.
And so we've given the church a vision, a way to mobilize the church. And we do that through what we call Adoption Week. And I'll let Josh explain that to us. So Josh is director of city development here for us, also one of our partnering pastors in the Charlotte area. And he's helping lead the charge here in the Triad and the Triangle. But I'll let him talk about the logistics of Adoption Week.
Josh, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're up. Better up, Pastor.
So it's hear, pray, go.
You don't
connect.
Get the rest of the hour, by the way.
All right,
just because you're a pastor.
I have 4 points this morning I'd like to share. No, it's a hear, pray, go, and connect. And so on an Adoption Week Sunday, we ask the pastor to preach on sanctity of life. We have a presentation. We really the heart of it is to educate people on the tragic truth of abortion that's taking place. That for most folks, they're just unaware. You know, unaware to what's really happening. And also casting that vision for the power of prayer and the engagement of the church to really shift the culture in their city. Then on Wednesday, we call the church to prayer and fasting, where we send out an email to everybody that's participating in that local church or churches that week and calling them to pray and fast.
Yeah, so churches are signing up for a particular week.
Right. That's right. They adopt a specific week. And then on Saturday is the go piece. And so that's where we're saying, you know, hey, listen, we realize you can pray in your church to end abortion.
Sure.
But there's something powerful that happens in the awakening of people when they go to the clinic and they see, just as Justin said, when he saw that, it moved from a statistic to reality. Wow, there's real people walking into this clinic that, you know, their lives are dramatically going to be affected forever. And so we're then prayer walking in front of the clinic, praying, worshiping, interceding for all that are involved in abortion.
What does worshiping outside of an abortion clinic look like?
Well, just like it would on the inside of a church. I mean, we're literally out there singing, you know, and bringing light. You know, we've had a mom say, you know, she drove by and heard people praying and singing and could not pull into the parking lot and drove up on a hill just to kind of watch and realized she prayed before she left that day for God to give her a sign.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, you guys being here, I realized I wasn't alone and I could keep my baby and I would have help. And so then at the end of the prayer walk is the connect piece. And that's where we're laying out, we're partnering with amazing pro-life ministries in each one of these cities, you know, that have been on the front lines way ahead of us,
sure,
laboring, and we're seeing them come together.
Yeah,
and
this
really
is not, let me just jump in there, because this is not about supplanting the pro-life efforts that exist already
exactly,
in the city,
right,
be it a crisis pregnancy center, maybe it's a group, and you'll meet John here in a minute, and the church at Upper Room going out to the abortion clinic every week, going out there and trying to save babies.
Yeah.
This isn't supplanting that.
Right.
This is coming alongside. It's a unifying force.
Yes.
And it's kind of taking all the pieces that are already there and providing a way for them to unify,
yes,
while everybody continues to do their own part of the wall.
That's right. As Justin likes to say, we're just coming in to pour gasoline on the fire.
Oh, baby. I love the way you talk.
Yeah. So, you know, what it's really about is the activation of God's people. What drew me as a pastor is the unifying and the activation, yeah, of God's people to realize, man, we really do have authority. We really do have God's power to come in and shift the culture and bring a change and not have to wait for somebody in Washington or in Raleigh, right, to write a piece of legislation. We can do something now.
Yeah, you don't need to wait in your state to see what happens with the bill that was passed recently in Iowa.
Right.
And whether that goes to the Supreme Court and whether Kavanaugh gets put in the court and whether the court hears the case and whether the court then turns around and overdoes Roe v. Wade. This stuff is happening now,
right,
if we bother to engage.
Right.
And we don't need to wait for the stinking Supreme Court.
Right.
There's lives being saved now.
Exactly.
That has nothing to do with Washington, D.C., but everything to do with the kingdom of God.
Yes.
All right, speak to pastors right quick, because I've been an activist since 2004. I love pastors, and at the same time, they tick me off.
Yeah.
But I also know pastors are incredibly busy. They're spread all over the place. Nobody really understands how tough a pastor's life is.
Yeah.
But for you as a pastor, why do you think every pastor that calls himself a follower of Christ has an obligation to be involved at some level with this issue?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it really boils down to the question of, do you believe it's a life? And if it's a life, you have to engage in some form or fashion. You have to engage, bring your people along. It's an incredible discipleship piece, yeah, to teach your people to pray and worship in the face of darkness, because now they're going to start to dream, where else can we do this? Where else can we engage in darkness? And that's what we're seeing happening in our church family.
Yeah, virtually just about every city in America. This is Steve Noble talking about Love Life, Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh, North Carolina, all around the country. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's the Steve Noble Show. By the way, if you're looking for wimpy, like lame-o Christian music, and not Christian music is lame-o by definition, although some of it is. Some Christian music is just like, oh, come on, listen, I work for the King of the Universe, all right? He's a conquering king. The whole game is over. This is a mop-up operation, and so there should be some bravado, although not pride, in our proclamation of that truth. That's why you hear some pretty strong music here on the Steve Noble Show, because we serve a strong God who's the creator of heaven and earth and the king, the despot with a loving heart over everything. And so that's why we come at this with a lot of passion, especially today as we're talking about Love Life, which began in Charlotte, North Carolina, and is now spreading to other cities in the state. Started primarily as a prayer ministry into the life of the abortion clinic and showing up and praying literally right there outside of abortion clinic, and not just praying, but also worship that happens. I've been involved here locally, and we're out there praying and then singing together outside of an abortion clinic. And I was just involved with a movie that's coming out early next spring about somebody that was at Planned Parenthood that left. And there's an incredible story there. But part of her story was talking about these people that showed up all the time and had the love of Christ in them, and we're praying, and we're singing, and we're kind and compassionate, and some of them more aggressive, and because you are killing children, and so we can't always be, shh, quiet, hey, it's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal, and I guarantee you, if your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter was being taken into a building to be killed, you would do something more than just, hey, we need to just pray. But that's not for everybody when it comes to the abortion clinics, but it is for some, and there's plenty of room on the wall, and we need to do whatever we can to save lives. And so we're talking to Justin Reeder today. You just heard from Josh Kappas, who's a director of city development involved in Greensboro, North Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina. They just had the kickoff last week in Greensboro. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've got the kickoff for that coming up on August 4th. But somebody else that's involved is my good friend, another brother from another mother, John Amanchuku, who happens to be the son-in-law of Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. John, how are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's great to have you on again. Great to see you as always. And so Upper Room, your church that where your father-in-law is the pastor, has been committed to the life issue for literally since your dad started preaching the gospel. Why is it such a big deal there? And this is a almost entirely African-American church, which I don't have a problem with, and that's another subject for another day. But beyond just you guys believing in it, you guys are engaged, you're engaged weekly, and then why get involved with Love Life? But let's start with the church in general and then talk about why you're getting so involved with Love Life.
Thank you, Steve. Well, most of the people that you see go down to abortion clinics, even in this area, they look like me. They're African-American. But 9 times out of 10, the people that you see fighting to end abortion don't. So the Lord gave Bishop Wooden a vision to get involved and engaged and to mobilize the local church at Upper Room to get out there on the front lines and to defend the faith and to save babies. African-Americans make up nearly 12% of the overall population in our country, but we make up nearly 40% of the overall abortions in this country.
Yeah.
Our numbers are not increasing. We are declining. And if we're not careful, if we don't get out there on the front lines, we'll look around and we'll see that way. We'll see one day that maybe there are not many African-Americans on the planet.
That's right. And that's a powerful thing to say. And oftentimes on the show, just to spice things up a little bit, I go, just remember, we've got a disproportionate amount of black babies being murdered.
Correct.
And black babies being murdered almost predominantly, almost entirely by white doctors. So everywhere you go on this subject, it just gets darker and more difficult. But you're talking about there's a disproportionate amount of black babies being murdered, but most of the people that are showing up at most of the abortion clinics are white people.
Correct.
Which, of course, there's white babies being murdered, too. But abortion's the number one destroyer of minorities in America.
Correct.
What about Love Life? Because you guys have been active for years and showing up at the abortion clinic. What about Love Life, John? Because you're getting involved personally. What about it that kind of drew you in?
Right. Well, there's an army rising up.
Amen.
I mean, the work that our founder is doing in Charlotte, and then also with Josh Kappas in Charlotte as well, and coming to Greensboro and the triad launching last week. There's an army rising up, and the work that's been done already, it really piqued our interest. You know, we want to join forces together and make sure we fight to end abortion by 2023. I believe that the work that we're doing is really going to get the sleeping giants awake. You know, there are many pastors who know about the issue, who have heard about the issue, but they're afraid to act. And so we want to give them courage to come out from hiding, to not be Saul hiding behind the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to get rid of the stuff, right, and give them opportunity to come out into the forefront and to defend the faith and to end this issue.
Now, is it difficult to have these conversations in the black church with black pastors? Because we know the political ramifications, mm-hmm. and I think it's fine to remind people that this is literally a black genocide going on. Mm-hmm. So how do you approach that? And praise the Lord for you and Bishop Wooden and others like you, because that's a conversation that I think is much more in-house. Mm-hmm. Me showing up at a black pastor's church and having a conversation, it's just another white guy talking about life. But when it's you doing it, it's different, isn't it?
Right. Well, it is, but we don't seek to make it political. This is about life.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we love the mission of Love Life. You know, we're developing and creating a culture of love and life, you know, and we want to end abortion and the orphan crisis. So at Upper Room, Bishop Wooden preaches about it all of the time, and the members support it. They celebrate it. Every week they mobilize with him, and they show up down at Drake Circle to pray, to preach, and to press, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can use their volume down there a little bit, but, you know, we're called to cry loud and spare not.
That's right.
You know, if a child was getting ready to run into the street or a highway and get hit by a car,
that's
we wouldn't
right.
whisper to him and say, hey, stop.
That's right.
I want you to stop.
We'd yell at him.
We'll scream it. We'll project our voice, you know what I mean, lift up our voice like a trumpet. So the beautiful thing is this, the momentum that we have coming from Charlotte to the triad is now present here.
Amen.
In the triangle.
Yeah.
And we plan on making Jones Franklin Road famous in the triangle.
Yes.
It's a busy road. You can see it. It's visible. I went to high school about 2 miles away from there. And, you know, since January 1 in this country, there's been at least one school shooting.
Yeah.
But no one's talking about it. We're not hearing about the breaking news. There are no helicopters flying over. But every single day on Jones Franklin Road, There are abortions that take place.
Yes, children being killed.
And nearly 75 babies die every week.
Man.
That's 4,000 babies a year. We can't stand those numbers.
Yeah, you can't stand those numbers, so you have to get engaged. Justin, Justin's the founder of Love Life out of Charlotte. And We talk about being there, projecting, praising, worshiping, praying. But I know you wanted to talk some more about the partner organizations and everything else that goes on, because this is a very holistic approach.
Yeah. We believe there's a lot of elements to shift the culture. And one of it is just mobilizing the church in prayer and fasting. But there's many parts of our connections element. Back to what Josh talked about, we have the hear, pray, go, and connect. The connection piece is the ongoing work of the ministry. It's the getting in the ditch part of the ministry. So we have a mentor program where we're raising up people from within the church that say, I'm going to walk with a mom and a dad that's chosen life at this abortion center. Over 1,000 have chosen life in the last 2.5 years. We need a lot of people that are going to follow up with those folks.
Yeah, there's a lot of ministry that has to happen
afterwards.
That fact.
That's right. This is just the beginning. That Choice for Life is just the very beginning. So we have over 100 mentors in the program that are walking side by side with families right now that have chosen life. And we need more here in the Triangle. They're going to rise up. That's one way you can get connected to ongoing ministry to shape a culture. You can get involved in orphan care ministry. You can foster. You can adopt. You can be a part of our orphan care hospitality team. It's a huge part of shifting a culture of love and life is caring for the orphans as a whole, not just the orphan in the womb, but also the orphan outside of the womb. Psalm 68:5 makes it clear, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. He takes the lonely and he sets them in families. Amen. Doesn't say orphanages. It says families. And Amen. We have 12,000 kids in the foster care system right here in North Carolina. 12,000 kids right here in our backyard. 2,000 of that 12,000 are clear and free for adoption immediately, meaning their parents' rights have already been terminated, and they're just waiting for a home. They're waiting for a mom and a dad. They're waiting to no longer be identified as an orphan, but as a son and a daughter. And how's that going to get done? It's going to come through the Church of Jesus Christ. He's given us this command. He has given us this pathway to follow. He adopted us.
Yeah, that's right.
And thank God he didn't leave us as orphans, right?
Well, that's the clearest picture of the gospel
that
we can come up with on
that's
this
right.
side
so,
of heaven.
Yeah, so that's a way we shift the culture. You know, we foster and we adopt. We mentor. We walk side by side with these families that are choosing life. We get involved in front lines ministry with our partnering pregnancy care centers here in the city that are out on the front lines 6 days a week, offering hope and life resources to these families. In the Triad, we just mobilized two of our partners there. They have mobile units that are now going to the abortion center 6 days a week to cover it, offering free ultrasounds right in front of the abortion center, offering life resources, giving these families hope as they're pulling into
this place.
And that's
such a critical part of what Love Life is doing, is you take the fight right there to the front line.
That's right. That's right. And we believe our presence matters. It matters, Steve. And we believe there's such an acceleration that happens when the Church of Jesus Christ comes together as one. We know that when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. We know that one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. There's an acceleration that happens when the Church of Jesus Christ comes together. And that's what we're seeing happen. We're seeing John 17 being played out in our city week after week after week. They're not coming together for a headline band. They're not coming together for a big-name speaker. They're going out to the darkest place in our city to cry out, to cry out and believe for a supernatural shift.
And, John, that's got to be a big deal for you guys at Upper Room, because you're out there by yourselves. But all of a sudden, to see the body of Christ showing up, that's got to be encouraging.
It's amazing. The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. 1 John 5:14 lets us know there's a confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we pray in his will, God will hear us. He will hear us, but he has to first hear us.
That's right. Exactly right. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show talking about Love Life. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about, besides the gospel, one of the most important things we can talk about in private conversations here on the radio and in the pulpit of any church is the issue of life and the issue of abortion. Love Life is an organization out of Charlotte, North Carolina that, Justin, was started when? Well, how long ago was it?
We started 2015.
2015. Justin Reeder is the founder, not a pastor, although he's a priest, and he was a good Christian man with a family and a business, and one day realized right across the street from one of his customers is an abortion clinic, and that's when God started to move in his heart, and that led to the birthing of Love Life Charlotte, which has been incredible since 2015 in a multi-denominational across the body of Christ in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Over 1,000 people have chosen life now in those families, and then coming alongside with mentoring and fostering and adoption, because when people on the other side of this issue will often say, hey, all you guys care about is life in the womb. But once they're born, you don't seem to care too much. And while that has political overtones and there's a lot of stuff in there you could pull apart, generally I could look them in the face on behalf of the church and say, yeah, you know what? There's a fair amount of validity to that statement that we scream like crazy when it comes to saving the unborn, and we should. But where are we when it comes to adoption? And where are we when it comes to mentoring? And where are we when it comes to supporting and walking along with, and this is called discipleship, with somebody that's chosen life?
Yeah.
Where are we? Because if you're going to take a battered wife out of the house, you better have somewhere for her to go.
Yeah.
Or she's going to go right back in and get battered some more. And so that's why the kind of the wide breadth of what Love Life is doing, which is what John was talking about, John Amanchuku with the Upper Room Church of God in Christ here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Bishop Patrick L. Wooden. And then, of course, Josh Kappas is here, who's also a pastor himself, but director of city development. So moving outside of Charlotte. Greensboro just launched when? This is kind of the middle of North Carolina.
This past Saturday, they launched strong. Over 200 people showed up.
Showed up to where?
To the parking lot of Destiny Christian Church, which is right next door to the abortion clinic in Greensboro. It's the largest abortion clinic in the triad. Bethany Fellowship Church was the adopting church that week. But, man, people from all over the city, multiple churches showed up for the launch. And, man, there was such an incredible spirit of unity and passion and worship there. Right away, we saw a 50% drop in abortion that day. That clinic averages about 12 plus abortions on a Saturday. They only had 6 that day, and we had one turnaround. One family chose not to go through with what they had come there to do. Just on the first day, I mean, we say it all the time, when light shows up, darkness has to flee. We're seeing that in Charlotte, 70% drop in abortion on Saturdays and Wednesdays when the church is praying, fasting, showing up. And so we want to continue.
That's quantifiable. That's evidence of what God is doing.
Absolutely.
Through the obedience of his people. Justin?
Yeah, one thing I want to add to that is at the end is when we drive the connections element. And we do a commissioning service at the end of the prayer walk. And we had somewhere around 40 people that responded to the connections element. Those are more mentors that are rising up, more foster and adoptive parents rising up, more sidewalk counselors that are rising up. And we lay hands on them, and we commission them right then, and they step into those connection components.
Wow.
So an army's rising up as the church is coming out, their hearts being broken over what they're encountering. They're praying and fasting. They're aligning the heart with the Father. And then they get clear action steps beyond that day. And that's the key to shifting the culture.
Well, you remember, it was a couple years ago, John, I'm sure you'll remember this, where there was a nationwide protest on a Saturday of Planned Parenthood clinics.
Yep.
Remember that? And people all over the country. So I went down to one here because when I first syndicated a couple years ago, 2016, my studio at the time was literally 2 blocks over from a Planned Parenthood clinic in downtown Raleigh. And I drove by that thing every day, Monday through Friday. And my prayer was always the same, was, hey, Lord, you know what? First of all, whoever's lost, spiritually lost, involved with this whole operation, I pray for their salvation. I pray that babies will be saved, that they won't come here, that the moms won't come here. And then, Lord, I would add this. One of these days soon, make sure the building's clear, and then burn it to the ground. That was literally my prayer. But I'm going by so that Saturday I showed up and did a bunch of recording, and I'm going to land this so it makes sense. There were a ton of people there who had never stepped foot in front of an abortion clinic.
Wow.
Not once.
Yep.
They were newcomers, newbies, mm-hmm. right? Freshmen, whatever you want to call them. So I found a bunch of those people, and I said, okay, let me ask you a weird question. When you left your house this morning and started driving here, how did you feel? Well, nervous. Anything else? Yeah, I actually felt kind of good. Why'd you feel good? Because I knew that I probably should be here. Mm. And then as you showed up, and now you start seeing counter-protesters, how'd that make you feel? Well, I was a little nervous. I was a little scared. What else? I felt good. Did you feel good or did you feel better?
Mm.
I think I felt better. And now that you're standing here, how do you feel? I feel really good. Are you afraid of anything? No. And what are you going to tell other people? They should be here too.
Yeah.
There's something about going.
Yeah, that's right.
That you come face to face with the darkness of an abortion clinic, and you start seeing people walking in there, which Jesus would weep over them like he saw they're like sheep without a shepherd. And that showing up is super important, isn't it? Both of you guys can talk to that, and then I want to ask John about that too.
I'll just say this. I believe I'm a strong believer that unity takes place in the battle. In the battle. So there's a real activation and a unity that takes place when we engage in spiritual battle together. It doesn't happen when we sit around in our churches and we talk about unity. It happens when we engage in battle together, and unity becomes a natural ripple effect of engaging in mission and battle together. And just to speak to even to the young people, my kids go out there with me every Saturday. Josh's kids go out there. John's kids go out there. Carl's kids go out there. I believe that there a lot of people are afraid to take their children out there. I say be more afraid of leaving your kids at home in front of a TV and letting culture speak to them.
Great point.
Than engaging them in battle. When you get your kids out there and they see it and they feel it, I'm telling you, you begin raising warriors for the kingdom. My two-year-old was out there year one with me, and I looked at my son right after the prayer walk, and I said, Jack, thanks so much for coming to the prayer walk with me. And he looked at me at 2 years old, and he said, Daddy, I'm watching you. I'm watching you pray. Our kids are watching us.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, our kids are watching us. You want to raise warriors for the kingdom? Get them on mission. Get them activated. Get them in the spiritual battle.
Pastor John, I mean, speak to that real quick about proximity and actually being on site. And then I'm going to come back and talk specifically about our own backyard here, since I am a Raleigh person, and the kickoff for Love Life here in Raleigh on August 4th. But proximity, being there, how important is that?
It's powerful. I had been down to an abortion clinic many times at Drake Circle, but also remember the week, the first time that I came down to Jones Franklin, to hear the one-hour journey there. As we were out there praying, there was a lady that drove up, and she got out to go have her abortion, and then her boyfriend got into the vehicle, and he was driving off. And when they came back, there was a little baby in the car seat that was waving at us.
Wow.
And as we walked away to go back into the house there, I mean, that thing broke me down. Mm. I mean, I didn't want anyone to see me crying. I guess that was the macho in me in the moment. I went to the restroom and I just couldn't stop weeping. You know, it crushes your heart, you know, and you want God to break your heart for this issue.
Needs to be. Yeah. Our hearts need to be broken. So let's localize it here, and let's talk about what's happening here in Raleigh, North Carolina on August 4th and how our listeners here on the Truth Radio Network can get involved locally here in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yeah, so we want to have a strong launch definitely on August the 4th at 1522 Jones Franklin Road. It's the new Hand of Hope location, future location, God willing, right next door to the abortion clinic from 9 to 11. And so we'll have plenty of parkers, people helping to park and direction and where to go. But, man, just come out and pray with us 9 to 11 on that day. And then ongoing, every other Tuesday, we host a one-hour prayer journey to really introduce pastors, ministry leaders, business leaders in the community to what this is about, capture the heart of the ministry, actually get a visual of what a prayer walk would look like. And so you can hop on our website, lovelife.org, and go on our one-hour journey page. And there's information there to see when the dates are and how to get connected with that. Also, too, just josh@lovelife.org. I'll be happy to send you all the information and get you connected. So what's happening in Charlotte and now in Greensboro is going to happen here on August the 4th and ongoing through November the 17th. So November 17th is the 40th week this year, and that's when we invite all the churches back. Last year in Charlotte, we had over 5,000 people.
That's amazing.
On one prayer walk. It was an amazing sight.
And you walk to the abortion clinic. Is that right, Justin?
That's right. We walk up to the abortion center. We stop in front of the abortion center on the opposite side of the street, and we pray. And we just call heaven down on that place, and we let people's hearts be broken over this. I think it's, you know, we really have to help provoke the emotion. I'm telling you, we become so numb to even the word abortion.
Yeah, that's right.
Become so numb to this thing, and so I like to tell people, listen, if we knew where the next school shooting was going to take place,
oh man,
which we don't, but if we knew, and we knew that the police or the cops weren't going to show up, we would run to the scene.
That's right.
But the truth is, we don't know where the next school shooting is going to take place, but we do know where the next 15 are scheduled to die here in the Triangle. And it's on Jones Franklin Road at the Preferred Women's Health Center. Let's show up. Let's show up and offer hope and life resources to these families. Let's run to the scene. The Parkland, Florida shooting, that was in my backyard. It's where I grew up. Coach Feist, the guy who died that day helping protect kids. It's a very personal story for me. That's my backyard. That's where I grew up. 17 died. Tragedy. Total tragedy in that city, right? And I believe it was.
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Believe the church should be running to the scene even in that situation. But the truth is, there are 15 to 20 that are scheduled to die in our cities every single day. Where are the breaking news alerts? Where are the press conferences?
Oh, that's right.
Where's the outcry? Church, if we really believe it's a life, we got to run to the scene. I got to interview a World War II death camp survivor here just recently, a lady named Miss Eva. And I asked her, I said, Miss Eva, what do you wish you would have, the Church of Jesus Christ would have done for you when you were in that death camp at the age of 8? She said, I wish that the church would have laid on front of the tracks as a train was hauling me off to the death camp. She said, but if only a handful of people had done that, the train would have ran over them. She said, but if thousands, Justin, if thousands had run to the scene, it would have shifted the culture.
That's right.
church. It's time for us to run to the scene to shift the culture.
Once again, the details here in Raleigh, North Carolina on August 4th. The details, real quick, Justin.
Yeah, August the 4th, 9 to 11 is the prayer walk. Show up. You know, it doesn't have to be your church's adoption week. Just show up, come pray with us, worship with us, and we'll give you a chance to get connected beyond that.
Anything else, Josh, from you?
That's it. LoveLife.org. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on here.
Josh, Justin, John, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate you guys.
You're
doing an awesome work. Love Life now here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Saturday, August 4th, 9 to 11 a.m.
Yeah.
LoveLife.org is the website. I just put it up on Facebook. LoveLife.org. We'll keep talking about it. We all have to get engaged. We have to save these lives. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.